For the introduction tonight, I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. And how many of you had a good day with your families today? Wasn't it for some? Boy, that was a blessing in the service this morning. I heard Pastor Jason shared 22 salvations this morning. Yeah. That's amazing. And then 165 visitors. That was the number he gave me, and I don't know what time period, if that's the whole. So we are enjoying the fact that people are coming in and getting to hear a message also, which is the other side of our play. So we have the play. And then we have our church service. So, Stuart Lucas sent me this YouTube video that I want to play tonight from Dr. Lockridge. And he's a, you'll hear his voice, and Pastor Steve has got it figured out on how to play it with the AV department. So I'd like him, Pastor Chabelli is going to give the message. Pastor Ray and Brenda are here from Carlisle, and we just really love you guys. Thank you, really. Really. Pastor Chabelli, do these folks help you with the African mission? A lot. Wow, thank you. It's amazing. So here's what I want to share. Okay. When we start out hungry and zealous for Christ, and that happens many times, how many of you, when you became a believer, you really had some zeal, you really were excited about it? You were amazed that this is true, and you just started and you just go, wow, this is amazing. Jesus is real. How about it? Okay. Oh, this congregation. Oh, yeah. Maybe it didn't happen that way to you, but it has to some. In any case, in time, God leads us, and many of these developments in areas of our life are just plain desert. No spiritual activity, no service, little or no fellowship with Him or others. Very little prayer. It has to be forced and is sometimes dropped altogether for months at a time. You might say, Pastor, why are you talking like this? Because it's true. And many people that came this morning, and some are like searching for more, or they are hungry and they don't know how to get it. Bible study finally grinds to a halt. Everything seems to add up to nothing. It is during these necessary times that the believer often feels God has ceased to carry out His part. There is little or no use in seeking to continue on. And yet, here it is. There is a hunger deep within that will not allow you to quit. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. I have seen this being a pastor for many years, that there are people, the hunger doesn't allow them to quit. They will come back after years even. One woman I remember, a great disciple and follower of Christ, 8 years was gone, and she came back humble, hungry, and broken. The ministry is really to reveal to people Christ. We all know about our desert, our emptiness, our disappointments with ourselves. But when God reveals His Son, it gets exciting. Because the Son of God becomes precious. I want you to read the verse, 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Be patient in your trials. Learn to draw near. Learn to trust when everything is as dry as sawdust. God is with you. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he, Jesus, is precious. You're going to learn it if you continue on. He is precious. And you're going to find many sides to Christ. Oh, Christ is the King and powerful. But he's also the humble, meek one who sits with you in your trial and cares for you. Well, this preacher, Dr., is it Lockright? Or is, I think his name is Lockright. Lockridge. He has found Christ. He's a pastor. And he has this piece, this three-minute piece, with the graphics that some people worked on from the play, The Passion. When I saw this, I've seen it some years ago, but Stuart brought it back to my mind last night. I have stirred up. Anybody that knows Christ like this, anybody that speaks about Christ like this, everybody that magnifies and know Christ this way, in all his names, and I have here from the Thompson Chain Bible, all the names of Christ, and it's a long list. I won't go through it with you, but I just want to say in the introduction tonight, this is what will happen to you and me as we continue on. You're going to find him again. You're going to know him in a new way. He's going to be more and more precious to you. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. The word precious, you know, it means very unique, irreplaceable, like a 1792 Russian Kopeck coin that one of my friends had. It was precious. If he lost it, how would he replace it? Or Mozart's piano, irreplaceable. If it's destroyed, it's gone. Christ is precious to us. So Pastor Steve, would you come up and try to do the engineering on this? This is a three-minute video clip with the press pastors preaching, and it's fun, refreshing, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleans the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. To describe him, for yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. Thank you, Lord. It's amazing. Would you pray with me for the offering right now? Lord, we find you irreplaceable, precious, exceedingly awesome in life, the answer for every situation, the reality that we all hunger for. We cannot go away from you. You are too awesome, Lord. If we go away, you will be right with us all the way, even if we make our bed in hell. God, you uphold us. You'll teach us in our backslidings and reprove us. You'll care for us. You'll draw us back. You'll show us who you are. And we'll not, by your grace, frustrate your purpose. You are awesome. We praise you. Bless this service tonight. Thank you for bringing Pastor Ray and Brenda down from up there in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Don's parents from Iowa are here with us, other visitors that came this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this play we saw, for the messages that we hear, for the life, the friendships we have. Thank you, God. Bless this offering. Thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Father, thank you tonight. Thank you that you are the resurrection and the life. Tonight we believe. We thank you. Pray that you touch us tonight. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the salvations today. Speak to those people tonight, God. Minister your life to them through the Holy Spirit's ministry, the Bible. Just touch them, draw them. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Ray and Brenda, would you come up for a minute? You did a work of God. No, I just want to say something about this amazing couple who have been, you've been in the ministry how many years?
Going on 30?
32.
Oh, there's an argument here.
35.
87 we started.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
It's been a long time.
Yes. And they have really been instrumental in, especially with African missions. And they traveled to South America and Central America. And really, they're the church. And what they give for the church that they have is incredible. And very much a part of the Haiti ministry, where they are supporters of 10 churches there, the Carlisle ministry in Africa and Uganda, and a real foundation for Children of Grace, which is an organization for orphans. So we want to thank them, give them a hand. They just do a great job. Thank you.
We thank Pastor Schaller and Pastor Schiavelli for their leadership. Without their leadership, we would amount to nothing. So thank you for your friendship and your leadership. Amen.
Okay, I want to read from the Bible. Hello? Are you here? And they're going to pray for me at the end, but we have 3 conventions, one in Malawi. Pray that we have traveling mercy, myself and Pastor Speedy. It takes us, from the time we leave here, like 48 hours to get there. That's fun. Do a lot of thinking, praying, and reading. And it's an interesting journey. Then we have a convention, our first graduation in the country of Malawi, where we have 40 graduates from Bible school. Then we move on. There's a major graduation for a number of countries in Southern Africa with Pastor Ronaldo, and he's in Zimbabwe. But he told me 80 people from Zimbabwe are coming by bus to the time in Zambia. And there's 150 graduates in Zambia. And then we move on. We go up into another part of Africa, Uganda. And Pastor Eugene will join me there. And we have another graduation there with maybe 40 students graduating. And it's our, what anniversary is it? 20-year anniversary. So Pastor Sam is expecting 2,000 people for that anniversary. And he's a faith thinker. He really is. And we'll have people from Sudan, Somalia, Kenya, Rwanda, Burundi, the Congo, Tanzania, all coming, plus Zambians, and it's going to be really an amazing time. So pray for traveling mercies for us, amazing health, energy, power in preaching, and just edifying the body. This is so important that the body would be built up. And pray that Uganda is a calm situation. I won't say why you should pray that, just pray that. And we are very thankful to be a part of this ministry, because I remember many years ago when Pastor Stevens had asked me what I thought about Africa, I said, nothing. He said, you ever pray about it? I said, nope. He said, would you? I said, not a chance. And here we go. And, you know, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Isn't that great? That we don't have to do the thinking. God can do the thinking. And it's incredible. Where's my wife? Is she here? Awesome woman of God. Yes. Besides being amazing spiritually, she can cook. I said to her today, you know, we could go someplace and eat. And she says, I'm tired, but she's just got to. And I said, like, why do you have to make like 8 things? You know, because Pastor Steve Murillo has to take a lot of food home. Him and Oliver and a number of other people, yeah. So it was really a great, great day. And it was an awesome service this morning, amen? I mean, the message, the word, the response, the people, the sense of the Holy Spirit just moving in our midst. And really, this is really the key, isn't it? You know, sometimes I would get up in places and speak, and I would sit back down and think, I made no sense at all. And then God would just do more with the message that I thought made no sense than the message I thought made sense, you know? And just shows you this is God. Amen. This is God. It is all Jesus Christ. And we are just vessels that are we are used by Him. And it's incredible that this can take place. And so I thank God for Greater Grace World Outreach. And it's incredible where this ministry is going. 628 churches and churches being planted all the time. And it's really amazing. Yes, give yourselves a hand. This is the base of operation. This is where all the, you know, the classes go and the tape messages go and people come and pray for convention this year. That thousands of people would come. People would come from overseas and that they would have the provision. I think it's very important, the international convention in the plan of God for our ministry. And it's really quite something. Are these lights brighter? It's just my eyes don't work so well. Wow, they are. That's okay. I know that you need them for whatever we're doing with what we call cameras. I don't know anything about it. I don't think I've ever taken a picture in my life. I've been in like 100 countries. People give me pictures, so people say, oh, don't lie. You have pictures. You show them. Yeah, they take them. I don't take them. I just haven't got the mindset to stand there and snap something, you know, and figure out if it works or not, you know. I don't even have a phone. And she's always getting me on me about that. What if you break down at 95? I said, I walk. Whatever, you know, leave it there and you walk. What's the big deal, you know? So, anyway, walking is good for you. John chapter 11, okay? I love this truth. It says Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. It makes it so clear in that portion of Scripture that he loved them. He would come to them all the time. They were his dear friends. And it's amazing to have dear friends in the ministry. And they would come to him. He would come to them. And they got the news that Lazarus was sick. And he said, this sickness will not end in death, but for the glory of God. So what would take place in this portion of Scripture would be that which would glorify God. It would have a lot to do with faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. It would have a lot to do with love. And I was thinking this afternoon, in the few minutes that I had to think about what's going to happen tonight, I was thinking about resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. And that's an amazing, eternal truth that has such power to it. But I want to experience resurrection life every day. Are you with me? Can you say amen? How about a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
That's awesome. That's great. You're here on an Easter night, had a lot to eat. And sometimes, you know, when you eat, you're like, and then bingo, you know. Yeah, food does that to my brain. It makes me not be able to think. I eat, you know. So I don't know. So I was thinking about resurrection life in me and in you and all of us on a daily basis. That it is an amazing eternal. It's an eternal truth because he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And that meant that in the mind of God, he was going to rise from the dead in the Father's mind and his eternal purpose. So that is an eternal truth. And it is awesome, and the day that it took place. Just like the cross was amazing, but he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So in the mind of God, these things had taken place, as far as in his mind, positionally. And so to have resurrection life functioning in me, so that when I go out and I go from an Easter Sunday or from any day, that I have an opportunity to receive this resurrection life. The word resurrection actually has an amazing meaning. It means just to stand up, to stand, to be positioned. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Jesus says something to Mary and Martha. Both of them said in verses 21 and I think 32, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you had been in this location and you had prayed, and we know you have power with God, if you had been here, my brother would have never died, would not have died. And they said this. I wonder how they said it or what took place there, you know. If you had been here, they were weeping. There was a lot of sadness and mourning going on. And we said this in Budapest, that when Jesus wept, he didn't weep over Lazarus' death because he knew he would raise him from the dead. He wept over their unbelief. The sin that makes Jesus cry is unbelief. That's Luke 19:41. He wept over the city of Jerusalem because they wouldn't believe. They would reject him and not believe in who he was. So he wept at their unbelief. And I think that's amazing that God actually weeps when I live in unbelief. That I just don't believe him. I just don't believe him. Oh, you. You know how many times he said that in the Gospels? Oh, how little faith you have in me. That's the actual Greek translation is, oh, how little faith you have in me, you of little faith. It wasn't like a stinging rebuke. It was kind of said with a broken heart. Oh, how little faith you have in me. Don't you believe me? Don't you believe me? And because of resurrection life, we can believe God. And he comes, and he's there in verse 25, and he's speaking. I'm in the wrong chapter. Okay, 11:20, let's start in 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to you. I kind of don't know whether she knows that she's talking to God. Jesus said unto her, your brother shall rise again. And being a great theological Bible college student, she said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I mean, isn't that how we can be sometimes? We just know a lot about the Bible. And sometimes God will give us a rhema, and God will give us a rhema, and we will use logos against the rhema. We will use another part of the Bible against what God says. You know, like, go do this. No, my family. Okay. You know, I'm going to quote to God something about, you know, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel, when God says, you know, the mission field or something. So we'll use another part of the Bible against an initiation from God. How do I know that? I've done it. I know that. I've done it. I know I'll rise again on the last day. And then Jesus said, hey, could I get your attention for a minute? I am the what? The resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. But I was thinking about how amazing that statement is. I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me. Believing in God. He's the resurrection and the life. And I saw something that I never saw before. There were 12 resurrection appearances. 12 of them, at least. 12. And how amazingly personal they were. To one, you know, to Mary Magdalene, to Peter, to James, to Stephen, to the Apostle Paul, to two on the road to Emmaus, to two women coming to the tomb, to seven that were in the fishing in the boat, then to Peter one-on-one, John 21:15, and then to the 10 and to the 11 when Thomas was there and when he wasn't there. But it's amazing to me, out of all those resurrection appearances, 7 times Peter was involved. Are you with me? Yeah. 7 times Peter was there. And you wonder, you know, you read Mark 16, I think it's verse 7. It says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Ula. Go tell the disciples and, who, put your name there, Afruz. Go tell the disciples and Pastor Mark Knowles. I mean, I put my name there. And why was that name there? Because Peter was experiencing amazing guilt, amazing shame. Peter was living in insecurity, discouraged, had no hope because of what he had done in denying the Lord. And Jesus says, you know what? 7 times you're going to see me. And you're going to get absolutely delivered. Not just by the fact that I rose again from the dead, but I'm going to minister resurrection life to you. Amen? Amen? Resurrection life. The life. He who lives and believes in me. I love that. I am the resurrection and the life. I didn't just rise from the dead 2,000 years ago. Today, I'm the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. In my sickness, he's the resurrection and the life. in my difficulties in finances, what does he say? I am the resurrection and the life. In a marriage problem, you want to go to this counselor and that counselor and this psychology and this philosophy and this psychiatrist and this doctor dispensing drugs, medication. And simply, we could just believe I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me. Case closed. Ah, come on. Come on, you don't know what world you're talking to right now. You don't understand. Abraham, come out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. Why? Because I am the resurrection and the life. And I'm going to take care of you when you go to a land you don't know anything about. Jacob, trickster, swindler, supplanter, thief, liar. You're going to become the father of a nation. How? I am what? The resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. Joseph, you can forgive your brothers selling you into slavery when you're 17 years old to the Midianites and the Ishmaelites. How can you forgive them? How could God? Why? Joseph knows that Jesus is the what? Resurrection and the life. And I believe. I believe that. You can be used again. I watched a little bit of the Ten Commandments last night. Yeah, I did. My granddaughter kept saying, is that Moses? Is that Moses? You murdered an Egyptian. You're finished. You got a revelation that you're the deliverer, and you tried to do it in the flesh. I think he really did have some understanding that he was the deliverer. But he was going to make it happen himself. By the way, have we ever tried to make it happen ourselves? Hello. Huh? Oh, yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. God, just wait over here. I'll take care of this. I can handle this. I know much better than you do about my problem and their problem. No, I am the I meet you at the burning bush. I am that I am is speaking to him. And he realizes now from 40 years of being in the wilderness that I am the resurrection and the life right now. Do you believe? Do you believe that? And Joshua getting ready to go into battle and Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot, your whole life has been given over to this sin, but all you have to do is understand and believe this one thing. I am the resurrection and the life. Believe. Believe. Ruth the Moabitess. Think about it. David fighting Goliath. Whew. Well, yeah, I know what it looks like, but Jesus says what? Now I am the resurrection and the life. See, I like how it adds the second part. I'm not just the resurrection to make you stand, but I'm the life. And you believe in the resurrection and the life. The resurrection may be a positional truth that took place in our lives and took place in time, but the life, resurrection life, is what I can experience right now. Are you with me? Right now, in a marriage, raising children. Hello. Dealing with my insecurities. Did you ever try to pay for your sins by doing good deeds? You know, somebody doesn't love their wife, so they go soul winning for longer than they normally do. That's just adding sin to sin. That's all that's doing. Love your wife, right? How? I am the resurrection and the what? Life. Just believe. Just believe. I mean, Christianity is so, in one aspect, easy. It's easy when it's Jesus Christ. And you can look through the Bible and you can see the resurrection and the life. Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus, woman at the well, woman caught in adultery. Man paralyzed in Mark 2, demoniac in Mark 5, woman with an issue of blood. Simply, not just a thing, an event that took place that was eternal and absolutely monumental, but today, today, I am the resurrection and the life. Do I believe it? Do I believe it? I can come in, I have a bad attitude, okay? I have a bad attitude. And God says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Just believe. And that attitude changes. It's amazing what can take place in a person's life that when it just goes into that, just believe in me. And he was surrounded by unbelief. It was an atmosphere of unbelief at the tomb of Lazarus. But he came in, and when you as a believer at your workplace come in with this thought in your mind and this truth in your heart and these words on your lips that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and I'm going to believe and watch something happen in this place. Are you with me? Sure? Okay. I was working for, I was bidding on a power plant job, and this was years ago in the 70s, and 78, I think it was, 1978. And they said to me, listen, the manager who was from Oklahoma said, listen, these guys, that these are the biggest piping contractors and electrical contractors in all of New England, and they're Jews. He said, be careful. I know what you're like a little bit. He said, please go in there and be careful what you say. I said, of course. So I went into the meeting with the Grotsky brothers. And they said, well, glad to meet you. And what's your name? And I told them my name. And then I told them that I'm a Christian. I said, I love your Jesus. They said, interesting. Tell us about what that means. You know what? I got every contract for 5 years from them. You know what? Simply believe, right? Simply believe. I'm the resurrection and the life. Somebody has an alcohol problem. You know what? Simply, I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and what? Believes will be rid of alcohol. Hello? I have a drug problem. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who lives and believes will not have a drug problem again. I have an anger problem. I got a solution for that. I am the resurrection and the life, and he who lives and believes will not have that problem anymore. Are you with me? I have a problem with envy. I'm envious of people. Well, I found another solution. It's kind of unique. I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will not be envious and jealous. Are you listening? I was talking to my brother today. He's pastoring a church. It's his birthday today. He said, have a blessed Easter. And he says, I'm so glad I haven't read your name in the obituaries yet. What was he saying? I don't know. He was having fun with me. He said, everybody up here is dying. He says, nobody left. I said, you know why? Because we believe that he is the resurrection and the what? Life. Don't you love that? What's their name now? That singing group, I don't know, you changed your name so many times. What's your name? New Song! Thank you, man. They're like that. They were amazing in Africa. Maybe they'll come again soon. Why? All they have to do is simply believe I am the resurrection and the life, and he who lives and believes will be in Africa again. Amen? Singing away. It's awesome. So any situation that's facing me, do I approach it if you had been here? Oh, I know it will happen sometime later at the resurrection. No, right now. Right now in my life. I am the resurrection and the life. Just believe, right? Just believe. Oh, you know what? I've got some problems. I've got a thorn in the flesh, or I've got besetting sins, and these things are literally destroying me. Well, I just found a new solution. I read it in the book recently. I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me, it's over. Victory. Absolute victory. Whatever it may be. Oh, we could never do that. Can you imagine what it must have been like when Pastor Stevens was preaching with about, you know, under 10 people up in Maine, and he was talking about a worldwide vision? They must have said, like, I took that as a formula when I went to Africa. We were in West Africa, and there was three people in the first meeting. And I said, we're going to hit every country in Africa. We're in 26 now. And we got to get to 52. could be more. Every other month, a country, you know, cuts in half and becomes another one. So I don't know. But how will that take place? Simply tonight, right, Pat Orsi? I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives in, believes in me, well, this is what's going to happen. And what happened? Lazarus came forth. Amen? It'll come forth. It will take place on a daily basis. You will see him standing there. Take the grave clothes off. I am the resurrection and the life. Let's be a people who really take this message and this truth, and it becomes very personal. Seven times to Peter. Why? Because God knew Peter's situation. He was the man who would lead the church, and he was living in incredible doubt, fears, anxiety, shame, and all kinds of things were going on, and maybe ready to quit and just go running away. So Jesus says, I'm coming to you seven times. You know why, Peter? Because I'm the resurrection and the life. And you just believe in me. He who lives and believes in me is going to fulfill his purpose and fulfill his call. Amen? Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for the resurrection and the life. I am. Oh, just we think about the I ams of the Gospel of John, the New Testament. I am living bread. I am living water. I am he said to the woman at the well. I am the resurrection and the life. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Thank you. We believe that absolute eternal truth. But now in our lives, every day, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. So we trust and have faith in resurrection life. Resurrection life that will set me free from sin. Resurrection life that will set me free from self. Resurrection life that will give me an understanding of my purpose. Resurrection life that will give me peace for my anxiety. Resurrection life that will give me hope for my discouragement. Resurrection life that will give me a positional truth for my shame. Resurrection life that will give me love for my fear. Resurrection life. Resurrection life. We thank you today. We thank you for what a day we've had and what a resurrection and a life we live in. If you are here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he simply says, and there's no one else, I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe it? On the internet, do you believe it? With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, simply say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me of all my sins, past, present, and future. Set me free from my old sin nature. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. I believe in Jesus tonight. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, if that's your prayer, or you're on the internet, you've prayed that prayer, it's between you and God. Just put your hand up. Jesus, save me. Save me. Save me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Save me. And for us as believers, he says to us in our situation, just say that quietly with your lips. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. That's what he said. I want to live and believe in you. I want to live and believe in you in every area of my life. I'm weak. I'm weak in faith, but you are strong. Help me, God, to live in resurrection life. And it's amazing that when they responded to resurrection life, they went. And that means we go. We go to the neighbors. We go across the street. We go where we work. We're going people because we believe. We are ambassadors. We're in the supermarket, at the drugstore, at the gas station. We are ambassadors of Christ. He is our resurrection and he is our life. And we want to live and believe in him. We thank you tonight. Bless our night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.